Lord, we love you. We honor you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is here. We thank you, Lord, that your glory is here. We thank you, Lord, that it says in your word that if you ask anything in your name, you'll be faithful to answer. And Lord, we're asking, Father, for your glory to show up. We're asking, Father, for a move of God this morning. We're asking, Father, for the Shekinah glory to come. We're asking, Lord, for lives to be changed, hearts to be healed, miracles to happen, glory encounters this morning, throne room encounters this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke every demon of distraction that would come against God's people from listening and hearing what the word has to say. Now, Father, may the meditation of my heart, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Let it not be my words, but yours. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the glory realm of God. We all know there's a spirit realm and a physical realm, but there's also a realm that not a lot of people like to talk about. But it's a realm of God that is so magnificent and so powerful, it's really hard to explain. So, preacher, why did you decide to preach it then? Because that's what God told me to. So I'm just going to be obedient and see what God has to do right afterwards. Turn with me, if you could, please, to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. And I'm reading from verse 7 to verse 10. The word says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory." We need to be open to receiving God's glory. What that psalm is talking about, it is talking about us being open to receiving the glory in the kingdom of God. God's glory cannot come where it's not welcomed. And I think as a whole, us as Highway family do a good job at harboring the presence of God. But there is something more that God wants to do. And I believe God wants to do something more. God's presence is not about just a Sunday thing. Then we go into our workplaces and then we're dry and empty and we come back Sunday and say, "Lord, fill me again." That's called powerless Christianity. And I am not going to be about powerless Christianity. Because the last time I read the word, it says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And if God is greater in me, then therefore I am able to do great and mighty exploits because of what he did on the cross. So what are you doing with your life? How many mighty exploits have you done? The time's almost over, folks. Bible says we're in the last days. Look what's happening in Israel. God's time clock. We're in the last days. We have to get ready. We have to get serious. I believe there's going to be another move of God in this country before he comes back. I believe we're going to see miracles we never thought happen. I believe you're going to have funerals and the dead will come alive. Hello? I believe you're going to see blind eyes see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the demon possessed set free. That all happens in the presence of God. That happens when we cultivate the presence of God. When our praise goes up, He sits upon the praises of His people. And that's exactly what God did this morning. The very presence of God entered in, and He sat amongst the praises of His people. And He's here to do something for you this morning. Are you ready to receive all that God has for you? Because I believe miracles will happen. I believe there's gonna be things happening in your life that you've been asking God for years. And God is either going to give you the idea on how to get it, or He's gonna say, because of your patience, there it is. Hallelujah. Not only what we must be open to the glory of God, we also must want the glory of God. Moses in Exodus 33, after communing with God, after speaking with God, said, God, that's great. Now show me your glory. That's great. You've talked to me. Now show me your glory. You realize because the veil of the temple has been torn in two, that we can walk boldly into the throne room of grace and say, God, I know what you've done for me in the past. Now show me your glory. God's done great things in the past. God has saved us from sin. He set us up on a rock, on His holy place of Zion. He's done great things in our lives. But Lord, we want your glory. When Moses asked, God responded. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You need to ask of God and not just say, well, God, you know, hi, it's me. I know you're really busy, but if you could, you know, show me your glory. Thanks. No, you have to bang on the throne room doors of heaven and say, God, I know what you've done for me in the past. Now do a new thing in my life. Who's ready for a new thing? When we ask, God delivers. But we all have to be in a spirit of unity. There can't be any backbiting. There can't be any gossiping. There can't be did you see what sister did a few days ago? Did you see what brother did a few days ago? No, listen. The army does not shoot their wounded. Why does the church? That's a serious question. The army does not shoot their wounded. They go into the battlefield and they go and they grab them and they bring in the safety and treat their wounds. But somebody comes and wounded in the church, we first want to gossip about them. It's time to show the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God to every sinner that comes through this door. Because when we show love, they go out set free. This needs to be a house of love. This needs to be a house where people feel the glory of God. And you can't feel the glory of God if there's no love and there's no unity. You want to know why I know? Turn with me to Acts 1:14. It says in the Word of God that they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. along with Mary and the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. They were all united in prayer. They were united. They were all wanting the same thing. And that was the move of God. The endowed power that comes from above from the Holy Spirit. They were promised it. Jesus promised that wait in Jerusalem and I will give you the Holy Spirit. So they were praying and they were wanting it. And they were united in one spirit. In order for God to move the way he wants, we have to be united in one spirit. Today I'm going to talk to you about, there's four main things that happen in the glory. Four main things. There's more, but there's four main things. One of them is repentance and cleansing. When the glory of God shows up, each sinner knows how wretched they are. How I know that? In Isaiah 6:5, he says, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah recognized that he needed God's cleansing power. And if it was good for the prophet of God, it's good enough for me. Hallelujah. But what happened? God just didn't leave him there. No, the seraphim took the coals from the altar of God and put it on his lips and cleansed his lips. And he was immediately made clean in the glory of God. You want to see salvations? Harbor the presence of God. People will come running to the altar. There's salvations amongst measure. When you harbor the presence of God, when the glory of God is so thick in a place, people come running because they know they need Jesus. Unbelievers, when they're in trouble, they run to the cross. A lot of Christians, when they're in trouble, they run to some self-help book, to some other thing. No, we all need to run to the same cross. Because it's the cross that heals, it's the cross that saves, it's the cross that delivers. And I make no apology for that. I will preach the cross till the day I die. Because without the cross, there's no power. Without the cross, there's no glory. Without the death of Jesus Christ, that veil could not have been torn in two. Conviction can only take place when the Holy Spirit moves upon somebody's heart. That's the only way conviction can happen. You can preach at somebody till you're blue in the face. But when the Holy Spirit anoints those words and they penetrate somebody's heart, then immediately the conviction comes. Immediately the conviction comes. Another thing that happens in the glory, supernatural knowledge, supernatural ideas. In Revelation 4:1, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. That is the revelatory knowledge of Jesus Christ. God in his mercy said, John, you're on the island of Patmos right now. Come up here so I can show you what's going to take place. You see, Pastor in his series on Pray First was talking about studying the Word and the SOAP version of studying the Word. And one of them is you got to ask the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He gives you revelatory knowledge of what the Word has to say. He gave John revelatory knowledge of the secrets of God. God can give you revelatory knowledge if you ask him to. In Ephesians 1:17, it says that the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of knowing him. In God's presence, there is revelatory knowledge. Yes, there are the secrets of God that you will not know until you get to heaven. But God does share revelatory wisdom of the Word if we ask him to. When you read a scripture and you don't understand it, you say, God, help me understand it. And you watch how the words on the printed page just rise up and just hit you right in the face. These are just printed words on a printed page, logos words. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the secrets of God, they become the Rhema word of God. And when you get a Rhema word, it comes inside you and it impregnates you. And you take that word and you run with it. It's amazing. You just read and you say, I don't understand this. And then you say, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me your words. Give me your knowledge. Give me your understanding of what you're trying to say. And then you just watch immediately what happens. How it just, the Holy Spirit just brings things alive. And quickens even the most complex scriptures. You realize the Bible is easy enough for a child to understand. But it's also as complicated that it's even stumps the smartest theologians. That's the greatness of our God. Is this book is from 0 to 100. It's easy enough for a child to understand. But even still, when you've matured in Christ and you're studying the Word, it still convicts, it still rattles, it still bothers. But that's okay. That's called the power of the Most High God speaking through His Word. Another thing that happens in the glory is kingdom ideas, business ideas. You know, sometimes you get an idea and say, you know what? That's a good idea. I wonder if, especially all these vlogs nowadays, people are making lots of money vlogging. Well, if you do it in the right way, guess what? You could bless other people. Those are kingdom ideas. God gives you an idea to blog about scripture every day. That's a kingdom idea. That all comes from being in God's presence and saturating yourself and saying, God, what would you like me to do with this vessel? Say, God, what would you like me to do today to honor your name? And watch and see what he'll do. Signs and wonders comes in the glory realm. Miracles, signs, and wonders come in the glory realm. You know how I know this? It's wonderful. It's Acts 4, verse 30 to 31. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Miracles happen in God's presence. Because when God comes off his throne and you have a seat that has depression, disease, anxiety sitting there, when God sits down, there's no space for all of that. There's no space for any of that. There's no space for cancer. There's no space for arthritis. There's no space for illness. When God, you allow God to sit down in your situation, God does a miracle. And he only does that when we lift our praise up and say, God, take me into that realm where the miracles happen. Take me in that realm where signs and wonders happen. God is a miracle-working God. I don't have to explain that one twice. What I went through a year and a bit ago, God is a miracle-working God. Signs and wonders. Encounters. Heavenly visions. Visions of God. Visions of the throne room. They all happen in the manifest presence of Almighty God. And it's wonderful. It's nothing to be scared about. It's magnificent. May I dare say it's glorious. When somebody receives a miracle, you don't even... You can't even understand how happy that person is. Because you don't know what that person has just been through. But when Almighty God comes down from heaven and touches that body that has been raveled with pain, that has experienced cancer, depression, the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. I believe some people are going to receive a miracle this morning. Because I believe the glory of God is going to come in such a way that we've never experienced it. I put a demand on the anointing a few days ago. I said, God, if you don't show up, I'm not going to waste my time. Because if God shows up, then things happen. But if God doesn't show up, then we're wasting our time. You know, our times with God also intensifies in the glory. Our intimate encounters with God and our times here worshiping in the house intensifies when we're in the glory of God. In Exodus 33:11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. That, my friends, is the lingering presence of Almighty God. Moses got to see him face to face. But Joshua said, you know what? I don't have to see God face to face. I'm just going to lie outside the tent and just soak a little bit in the presence of God. Because when the glory of God comes in, you do not want to leave. You do not want to get out of the presence of God. This is why when we were in the middle between worship and prayer, he says, just wait a minute. Because the glory of God was here. And it was thick. And he was just trying to listen to what God had to say. We should never be fearful of that. When the glory of God comes, you do not want to move out of it. In 1 Kings 8:10 to 11, it says, "And when the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand there to minister, because the cloud, for the glory of the Lord, filled the house of the Lord." The ministers could not minister because the cloud of God's glory was so thick in that place. There are times where you're going to have encounters with God where you just don't want to leave. There are some services that we've had here where we just can't even transition. And it's going to keep happening, and it's going to intensify, and it's going to grow. Because I believe God has his hand on this house. I believe God has had his hand on this house for years, for decades. And I believe God's going to do a new thing, as he said in Isaiah, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And God's going to do a new thing, because I know there are a lot of you that are hungry for it. A lot of you are hungry for it. The Bible says that taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a reason why I didn't say smell and see. He said taste and see that the Lord, is good. We have to, sometimes when you're in God's presence, it's like you could taste it. It's like you could smell it. It just has that aroma about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God's glory shows up, church becomes a place where God can abide freely. When God can abide freely, watch out. Many things can happen. Sickness has no place within people's bodies where God can abide. Debt has no place in people's bank accounts where the glory abides. I'm just speaking out what God and his word is saying. The glory of God is such a wonderful thing. I'm trying my best to explain it to you. But it's when you experience it, you get it. I can only explain it here. And for a long time when I grew up at Catch the Fire Toronto, I knew about the glory. I knew about miracles. I knew about prophecy. But then when God got a hold of me and wrecked me, then I finally knew about the presence of God. I finally knew about miracles. I finally knew that I could actually lay hands on the sick and command pain to leave, and pain will leave the body. That I knew that I could lay hands on somebody that is on their hospital bed and see them walk in a few days. When moment you experience God's power on your life, you do not want to go back. The moment you experience that wrecking power of God that takes your soul and your spirit, sort of like a pizza, and just mushes it and makes it into a beautiful creation, that all happens in the glory realm of God. And my heart is to see highway on fire for God. My heart is to see miracles, signs, and wonders happen here at Highway. Is that yours? The church as we know it will not be business as usual when the glory comes. It will not be business as usual. People who will have canes will be wondering, where's my cane and why am I walking? You'll have people who doesn't really know much about God, but they say, I need to know this Jesus that came and died on a cross, this same Jesus that walked the road of Via Dolorosa, this same Jesus that got whipped on his back, this same Jesus that stood before Pilate and Herod, this same Jesus that was on the cross is the same Jesus that was placed in a tomb. And then the glory. I believe there's resurrection power in the glory. You know how I know this? Just read what happens in the Easter story. The glory of God hits Jesus and he walks right out of the tomb. The angel comes, rolls the stone and says, all right, Jesus, it's time to go. I have too much faith to be at the place where we're at currently. I believe God wants to take Highway to a new level. Hallelujah. In the anointing. A new level in God's presence. You understand what I'm saying? I believe there's going to be miracles in the house this morning. I believe there's going to be signs and wonders this morning. Are you ready for the glory of God to fall? Are you ready for his presence to come? I feel the anointing even while I'm standing here. God gave me a vision while I was working on this sermon. And it was the glory portal started right here. Right here. And then it moved. Slowly, but it moved. Until it encompassed the whole building. Come on, if you got a spirit language, start praying. I'm done preaching now. I'm done preaching now. Come on, give him praise. Worship team, if you could come, please. If you could come. Hallelujah. We're gonna go and experience the glory right now. Oh, we need your glory. We need your fire to fall. We need your fire to fall. Come on, everybody, stand. Stand if you're able. Come on, we're gonna worship.